Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning to you. It's
a Monday.
It's a monkey Monday. We'll call it that. We're going to monkey around on this Monday. Although there is going to be a radio show from Syracuse tonight, my last one before I monkey off onto a honeymoon. So you're going to have to take everything that you can get from this final hour this morning and then 4 hours tonight into tomorrow morning. If you're one of those people that professes to miss me, I don't actually know if I believe you. I appreciate it, though. I will not miss being on social media. I will not miss watching a bazillion sports events every week because it's the springtime. I'll be taking a break from sports as well as from social and really excited about finally getting away and doing a honeymoon starting on Wednesday morning. And since our flight leaves relatively early, we need a ride to the airport. I won't be with you on Tuesday night into Wednesday. So no more shows in studio until mid-May. But we do have the one tonight from Syracuse as I wrap up my second class as an adjunct professor. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy almost May, which is kind of crazy, right? Because it's the last, we just finished up the last weekend of April. It's the last couple days of April now. They go by in a blur if you work in this industry, whether it's the NFL draft that floats your boat, and kudos to Detroit, we'll get to that coming up, whether it's the hoops and hockey playoffs, whether it's March Madness, which is how April begins. I know the Masters wasn't quite as enticing for as many people this year, but gosh, think about the WNBA draft getting as much attention as it did. Everything that Caitlin Clark does makes headlines. I even called Candace Parker Caitlin Parker on accident, because Caitlin is so much part of the vernacular right now. So it was bigger, badder, and better than ever this April, throwing even more women's sports into the mix too. And that means the month has flown by. It doesn't really slow down, honestly. It doesn't slow down until, gosh, mid-June, maybe late June. But just when you think it's safe to come out and pay attention to your own life and not sports. Okay, that's me. Just when you think it's okay to pop your head out and see what else is going on, the NFL reels you right back in. Then you're weeks away from training camps. Wow. Let's not talk about that yet, okay? Let's take a break at some point
Good
during
evening.
The summer.
Welcome, everybody.
Wait, is that from Detroit? Or
no.
Is that from Philly?
I don't know what that one's from.
I feel like that's from Philadelphia.
Probably.
Where's his intro in Detroit where he's egging on the crowd? Even the guys behind him from the Lions were egging on the crowd. But I still think the Detroit booing was far less emotive, far less energetic, far less intense than what we've gotten in previous years with Roger Goodell. I think Lions fans are too happy right now.
I think it was because Eminem was up there.
So they wouldn't boo him?
Right.
But he was trying to get them to boo Roger Goodell.
I think they just love Eminem so much that you can't, like, it just doesn't work.
Not to mention Barry Sanders was still on stage and Megatron was there and Amon-Ra and Jared Goff and, yeah, Aiden Hutchinson. So it's hard to boo when there's so many Detroit icons that are up there. I get it.
What he was doing.
But I also think, yeah, true. Roger surrounded himself with people that would incite cheers rather than boos. But I also think that Lions fans are in a really good place right now. They've been in this good place in decades. So what is there to be upset about?
They booed enough over the years.
They were also really pleased with themselves because I've seen this multiple times on social from fans wanting to point out, we set a record for attendance over the course of the 3 days of the NFL draft. And yeah, 700,000 plus. I've seen so many people who attended the draft in a media capacity or in a capacity in which they were working with a football team rave about the energy and the electricity, even when there was nothing happening on stage. And for those people who have never been to a draft, truly, there is nothing happening on stage after that first round when the commissioner or the side commissioners are out there. Right, when you've got assistant commissioners and you get into the later rounds of the draft, they don't have the bands, they don't have the light show. It's not nearly the same. That first round is done with all of the bells and whistles to make it must-see TV on a Thursday night. It's built for prime time. The later rounds of the draft, not nearly as dressed up. And yet, the fan support and the excitement, the adrenaline, it continued. So good for you, Detroit. I'm very impressed.
I feel wind underneath my freaking wings.
Clearly, Dan Campbell does as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On Twitter, Facebook, what you loved about the draft, or Detroit fans, you definitely deserve a ton of credit. As do Knicks fans in Philadelphia, drawing the ire of one Joel Embiid. And then also Rangers fans making their presence felt in D.C. as they sweep the Capitals out of the playoffs. So we're starting to see the second round already take shape. And that includes some firsts and some seconds and some thirds for the Minnesota Timberwolves. For the fourth game of the series against the Suns, at least it was competitive. But honestly, if you watch this series, it was about as lopsided as it can get. And this wasn't a 1-8, but it felt like the Suns had not a whole lot to offer against Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, Jaden McDaniels. I mean, this was lopsided in favor of the Wolves, which is not something we say very often.
Now Towns with it. Cat, left side, steps through along the baseline, drew the foul, and he hit the shot off the glass. It's a three-point opportunity for Karl Anthony Towns. 7-0 Timberwolves run. It's 102-99. Bounce pass right side to Mike. Six to shoot. Gotta go. Ant gets it back, turns, fires, deep three on the way, and he drains it. Calm, cool, and collected. Anthony Edwards up to 29 points. Ant one-on-one against Bradley Beal. Beats him baseline. Rises and hammers. What a finish by Anthony Edwards. Big-time dunk by Ant.
I told y'all yesterday, or day before yesterday, whatever the last time we played, that I want to kill everything in front of me. So once I knew we had a chance to sweep them, and, you know, I mean, why we want to go back to Minnesota? I mean, we know the recipe. They came out and competed. They played hard tonight. It was very tough, but, I mean, big shout-out to my teammates, man. They came out and competed at a high level throughout the whole 48 minutes, and they trusted me at the end, man. So big shout-out to those guys.
31 of his 40 points in the second half, and that dunk was dazzling.
That was sick!
Yep, it was sick as well. Alan Horton on the Timberwolves radio network. Then you hear Ant himself on the NBA on TNT. Yeah, the way that he's elevated his game, and it started in the regular season when Cat went out, and at the time, the Timberwolves were hovering near the top of the Western Conference. People wondered whether or not they'd be able to maintain. In fact, I think most people assumed they would not without Cat. He's gone for weeks. But Anthony Edwards stepped into that void, and we've seen a different player emerge. Almost like he stepped into a phone booth. I know people have no idea what that is. Stepped into a phone booth and came out as Superman. Didn't that used to be how he would do it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he would go into a phone booth, Clark Kent, and come out right as Superman. But that was old school. Now he just starts running and pulls off the suit and
does he? I don't know.
Takes flight.
I feel like that's not very inconspicuous.
Mm-mm. But also, the phone booth wasn't either because it was clear. You could see through the windows in the phone booth.
At least there's an effort.
Right. How many people who are listening to the show right now have ever been in a phone booth, you think?
I don't know.
You have not been in a phone booth. Right. I haven't seen one in forever. Maybe at old school TV shows. In fact, I haven't even seen a payphone in years.
No, gosh.
But when I was in Green Bay a few years ago for a game, they actually have one on the wall in the bowels of the stadium just for fun.
Did you use it?
No, but I did take a picture of it.
Yeah, of course.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So this was Clark Kent emerging from the phone booth as Superman, and Anthony Edwards never looked back, even when Kat returned. And it's been great to see the two of them move the franchise forward together. I like the 1-2 punch. And then in addition, you have Rudy Gobert, right? And I know people can debate about whether or not he was worth what the Wolves gave up for him. But at least in this series, they had more than enough firepower. Mike Conley, too. I would talk about OG for the Timberwolves. He was in double figures to go along with 7 assists. Kat has a double-double. Edwards, dynamic. It all results in a first in Timberwolves history.
Devin Booker through traffic, down the lane, runs up the shot. It's blocked. Anthony Edwards swats it away. Timberwolves control the loose ball. Conley will lob it up into the front court. Nikhil's got it. The horn sounds. The ball game is over. The series is over. For the first time in franchise history, the Timberwolves have swept a postseason series. They win it 4-0 over the Suns. For just the second time in franchise history, they're moving on to the second round. And it is just the third time in franchise history they've won a postseason series.
I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier. One, about getting the win, finally getting the monkey off my back, about getting through the first round. Mm-hmm. Damn. Someone burn us?
No, it's a cart.
Oh, okay. Say less. I was just making sure we're safe in here. But playing with my man on my right, man, it makes more special to be able to do it with someone that I got so much admiration for, so much respect for, and future's so bright for him. I got to put my sunglasses on in a way because it's so bright for him.
Obviously, it's Ant who's sitting to his right. And what did they say that was? A cart backing up? Is that what was making that noise?
The first round. Damn. Someone burn us?
No, it's a cart.
Oh, okay. Say less.
Say less. I think one of my students used that recently. You want to talk about street cred and cool. That's Carl Anthony Towns. Yeah.
Future's so bright for him. I got to put my sunglasses on in a way.
We don't get to hear the
yeah.
And the laugh at the end
makes it.
Yes. So congrats to these Timberwolves. The only problem is Chris Finch may not be available to start the next series, but maybe, because as a high seed, they would be home. They will be home. But Mike Conley collided with him on the sidelines in the second half. In fact, it was late in the game. And according to the Wolves, Finch now has a torn patellar tendon. And right away, as he was falling to the ground, he was grabbing his knee. He couldn't walk. He had to be helped off the court. Felt so bad for him. He's just minding his own business, doing his job. And I'm sure Conley feels terrible as well. So Chris Finch is likely going to need surgery. But if nothing else, Is he able to withstand the pain? And is he allowed to travel? Can he even coach the rest of the way? That we don't know, but it is a torn patellar tendon for Chris Finch. If you haven't seen the collision, oh, they show a close-up of it. Not that you can see the tear or anything, but just his face and grabbing his knee right away. It's one of those instant pops.
It's like a football injury. Mm. You see that happen like on the football field, all the legs swing around and players got to keep hacking. I never thought I'd see that on a basketball court.
Yeah, well, and a collision like that.
Crazy.
But Conley was the one moving. Finch had no place to go. He fell into some fans there along the sidelines, but had no place to be able to avoid him. It was just an awkward hit, and the way he went down on it, ouch. So thinking about Chris Finch, but mostly this is really impressive and a major step for the Timberwolves. These are not your daddy's Timberwolves. Did your daddy like the Timberwolves? 20 years since they advanced to the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers, I believe. Only the third time in their franchise history they've ever won a series. And for them to sweep, also a first. Now, for the Suns, this is a mess because they've got their big three. They got a brand new coach. He's won a championship. What went wrong, Devin Booker?
I would say the details. I've been on a pretty successful team. KD's won a ring. Coach Fizdale's been a part of the Miami Heat. Coach Vogel won one with the Lakers. And I think everybody would say, these are the time that the details matter. And it's something that, we kind of passed by and, didn't think was a big deal, but came back and bit us in the ass.
The Devin Booker ended up with 49 points, but it wasn't enough. Kevin Durant, he says they're still early in this reload. I don't think it's a rebuild. You can't call it that. But he says they're still working on it. And he doesn't think it's a throw in the towel type of situation. Now remember, the Suns looked so horrible in getting beaten by the Nuggets last year at the end of that series that Monty Williams paid the price. But they brought in Bradley Beal, and this was supposed to be the punch. Again, you talk to Booker, you hear from Kevin Durant. It's not the offensive firepower that's the issue. It's them, in this case, getting beaten on the boards, turning the ball over. It's just a matter of paying more attention to the details and doing the little things right, the basics.
We put this team together with the mindset that we have a 3 to 5 year window, that every year we're going to have a chance to, we have a team that has the firepower to compete for it.
That's Frank Vogel. I can't imagine he's a casualty, though this is an embarrassing way to go out, to get swept. As for KD, apparently Anthony Edwards is his favorite player to watch in the NBA, so he's very complimentary of the 22-year-old Ant. But also, he may not be 22 anymore. Don't question whether or not he still cares.
For me? Individually? I live and breathe, bro. Like, I have nothing else, but, at this point in my life, I got a lot of going on outside of basketball, but what I'm mainly focused on is ball, bro. So, yeah, I got motivation. I love to play. I'm going to come back next year, ready to hoop, So, yeah, I don't think you should question that.
So don't question KD and whether or not he's contemplating riding off into the sunset for all his other projects. And don't question Alex Ovechkin because he's also gearing up already for next year, talking about next year as though the sweep by the Rangers will be a positive or could be turned into a positive, could be converted into a positive experience. Although now it's got a sting. I still can't get over it. No points in 4 games. There's got to be very few stretches in his entire career in which he's had no points in 4 games. First time it's ever happened in the playoffs. But gosh, Jay, you must be oozing with pride over your Rangers.
It was nicely handled, the series. Took care of business. Sweep, got in, got out.
Reserving Is there very reserved in your praise?
Well, they took care of business for round one. We got bigger goals, but it's an improvement from last year.
I just started a wee.
Yeah, that
wee all the way home. Yeah, so two sweeps early on. The Timberwolves and the Rangers, they become the first two teams to advance in the hoops and hockey playoffs. Clippers and Mavericks turned into a much closer game than what it should have. Probably the same could be said for Pacers and Bucks. Without Bobby Portis, somehow the Bucks managed to fight, scratch, claw their way back into the game before the Pacers pulled away. Coming up next, though, Joel Embiid not happy with the fact that it sounded like Madison Square Garden in Philadelphia. And also sifting through some of the headlines of the NFL draft. Detroit, you were damn near perfect. I loved it. Love to see it. Love to hear it. Really proud of you guys.
Got pure octane right now.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Pod.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Doors take us to summers away. Or winter adventures. And afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Podcast.
And B started to give help. Jalen went to Hart's team, but he missed a layup. To the left corner, Sixers, Oubre, three-pointer in the air. It's good. A three by Oubre. And the Sixers go up 8, 59-51. Timeout, New York.
Trying to take advantage again. Brunson between the circles, guarded by Harris. One-on-one with him. Near the foul line, Brunson between the legs, sets him up. Steps through, floats it up off the glass, and in. And we've got a three-point game. 8 seconds to shoot, 9 in the quarter. Brunson one-on-one with Melton, crosses over, draws the foul, flips it up, count it, and the foul. Jalen Brunson with 5 seconds to go in the third quarter, ties it at 76 with a free throw coming.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, did someone say Jalen Brunson? All right. I wonder how much he was spurred on by the extremely vocal Knicks fans in Philadelphia. I told the story earlier, but I had been listening to the beginning of the game on the radio because I was finishing up some baking. I had it rolling in the other room on DVR. So when I get into the living room, I take it off mute and something happens for the Knicks and the crowd goes wild. And I did a double take thinking, wait a minute, I thought this game was in Philly. Oh, yes. Yes, it was. And yet, as you hear behind the Knicks radio network and even the Sixers radio calls, not only is it too much Jalen Brunson, it's too much New York noise.
He's got Embiid one-on-one. Here he comes on the left side, between the legs, trying to set him up. Now behind the back, shot clock is down to 2. Brunson's got to go. Fall away jumper, front rim, gets the roll. Brunson's got to get it across the timeline. Embiid is running with him. Brunson does. Gives it to Hart on the left wing. We're down to a minute to go. Brunson on the left side. Brings it to the foul line. Flips it up. And in. And the Knicks have a 6-point lead in the final minute. Timeout Philadelphia. Embiid fires a quick three. No good. Rebound Josh Hart. Time expires. Knicks are one win away from advancing to round two. They will take a 3-1 lead back to Madison Square Garden.
So, you can hear the reaction as Brunson is pouring in 47 plus 10 assists. OG Anunoby has a double-double. A huge advantage on the rebounds for the Knicks. I mean, it was physical and it was tough. But if you can be on the road and have a crowd presence like they did, honestly, it felt like a side theater from Madison Square Garden, which they have, by the way. I understand why Joel Embiid, while he started out trying to be not controversial or maybe unquotable, but as he kept talking, he talked himself into, this is pissing me off.
Disappointing. I love our fans. Think he's unfortunate, and I'm not calling him out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen.
Agreed. And he says, Philly's supposed to be a sports town. I've been here 10 years. I've never heard that before. I don't know why Philly fans would give up their tickets. It's been a good series. Maybe not believing that the Sixers can even the series, though they played well in game three. I would say maybe more accurate is the fact that a lot of them could make money off of them. So a lot of these tickets would be sold secondary market from season ticket holders or maybe through corporate or maybe their giveaways. That's probably not the majority of them, but some of them are distributed by corporations, sales, marketing, that type of thing. Still, though, if this is a high-profile series and Knicks fans want to be part of it, they're likely to pay top dollar. So you can understand why there would be some Philly fans who want to recoup their investment and then some. That stinks.
I also think the price of a ticket at Madison Square Garden is so insane that a lot of Knicks fans in the area, there's a lot of buzz about the Knicks right now. They go, oh, what's a 2.5-hour drive on a Sunday down to Philly? And they can get a ticket for probably $200 less minimum, because the tickets are that insane in New York right now. I think a lot of people just made the trip thinking they want to go see the Knicks. Can't go see them at the Garden. Let me go take a drive to Philly.
Right. Although I don't know how many tickets would have been available, like walk up. I did hear that game three wasn't sold out, though. So maybe Knicks fans heard that as well and decided they would take that trek, as you say.
No, I think you were right with the secondary market where Philly fans saw they could make money on.
Did you check it out?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. I can and see what they were going for. But I just think that Knicks fans were willing to spend, because $200, say, for a Knicks ticket is really not a lot if you're talking about here in New York. I mean, trust me, it's a lot. But if you're a Knicks fan, you can't go to see a Knicks game for less than $400.
At MSG.
So,
especially in the postseason when they've not been there in so long.
So I think maybe they just saw a little bit cheaper of a ticket. It was a little bit of a trek, but it was a weekend. It was a nice Sunday. I think that's also where it came from.
The last time the Knicks were a 2 seed was when Carmelo Anthony was there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Knicks are making quick work of the Sixers, and I love the formula. I like that Thibodeau started this rebuild on defense, and they brought in the pieces. Now, granted, the front office for the Knicks has had a bunch of mistakes, misfires, right? It's a revolving door. If you look back to draft picks and some of the free agents they brought in, Knicks fans have waited. And honestly, it was the same way during the tenure of Carmelo Anthony as well. I mean, it was, I know he was the major point of drama there, but constant change with coaches, front office, players around him. And it's been that way to the point where, I mean, Thibodeau was on the hot seat in year number two, but stuck with the defensive plan. And it was ugly for a while. Julius Randle, kind of a disappearing act for one full season. And now he's been injured for a couple of months. Some Knicks fans would tell you they're better without him. Though, can you imagine what he would bring to the table in terms of the rebounding and the skill? It's just hit or miss with him. Anyway, it's not hit or miss with Jalen Brunson. Not only his career playoff high of 47, but the most in Knicks franchise history. That should tell you about this franchise turning the corner. And they don't care if it's ugly. OG Anunoby with another double-double.
We didn't shoot the ball as well as we wanted to, especially from three, but we made timely ones. And then just second chance possessions, just if a shot goes up, just trying to get off the glass, get another possession, you know, drain out more clock and get another good shot. So yeah, we think it was a good performance, but we can do better.
The Knicks fans had a lot to do with it, but the formula certainly works. And if you're holding a home team, whether it's an actual home team or just a home team that's getting not much of the cheering from the crowd, but if you're holding the home team to only 16 points in the fourth quarter, woo, you can find confidence in flexing muscles in that defense.
We just couldn't get like in a rhythm, like offensively, as far as like what we wanted to run a couple times. You know, we got it. That's on me and K-Lo to get us organized and get us a good shot.
Tyrese Maxey referring to Kyle Lowry as K-Lo. I don't know. For me, that'd be a little bit too much like J-Lo.
I'm not going to call him K-Lo.
We have someone in the office that dudes call C-Lo. I mean, at least it doesn't rhyme with J-Lo.
I never really made
J-Lo
that J-Lo
and K-Lo. Or Kevin Love. Does he get called K-Lo, do you think?
He could.
He doesn't really strike me as a K-Lo.
No.
He's got gray hair now, too.
He strikes me as a Kevin.
The Miami Heat on the brink as well. At least I'll be around for the first round of the postseason. I don't think all the series will be done by the time I leave, but you and I were joking about the fact that the first round would still be going when I came back from the honeymoon.
I think there's a chance Sixers, Knicks game seven, if it goes to it, you'll make it back for that. Yeah.
It won't be in for 2 weeks. So good for the Knicks. I like this iteration of the Knicks. I love the Josh Hart, who, by the way, missed, what, all seven of his shots yesterday?
Oh, he was terrible.
I mean, he's a beast when it comes to just the defense and the rebounding, and he works hard, but the offense wasn't there. Dante DiVincenzo started out super cold, so that's why the Sixers built a 10-point lead in the first quarter, and then I think it even got up to 12 in the third quarter again, but the Knicks just reel them back in, and they have this ability to, again, make their opponents look ugly.
I think they had 17 offensive rebounds.
It was terrific. Offensive rebounds are sexy. And Joel Embiid played every second of the second half. He gave it everything he had. You cannot fault this guy in any way for effort. Just leaving it all out there. And he had a really impressive stat line. It's just that the rest of the Sixers were less than effective in the fourth quarter. Gosh, now that we've seen what the Knicks have done in games two and four, their confidence is through the roof. And we'll see what they do moving forward as a two seed. Now, who's going to battle Boston? Could you see the Knicks doing it? That's a question. They get to that point. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Glad to have you with us. It's a Monday. We're going to deal with it.
You are listening to the After Hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
This podcast.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California. With the second pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU. With the third pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina. With the eighth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
With the 10th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select
J.J. McCarthy,
quarterback, Michigan.
With the 12th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Roger Goodell introducing six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 selections on Thursday night's NFL Draft. And we talked a lot about it, the history that was made, and also the fact that there is no standing pat where you are and not looking at the future. Even the teams that have the best quarterbacks, you're either renegotiating contracts, trying to figure out a way to pay your QB and still fill out a roster with competent players, or in the case of the Falcons, you draft the guy's replacement. But Raheem Morris has a point. They were paying attention to what the Packers did a few years ago.
Green Bay model was something that we talked about, and it's been proven to be right last year. So hopefully we'll be right with them.
That, of course, referring to Jordan Love, who they drafted in the first round going back now, gosh, 4 years ago. And it set off a brouhaha and got Aaron Rodgers unders in a bunch.
It's totally fine.
He's a liar. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Congratulations to another NFC North city. While we're talking about Green Bay and getting it right, Detroit got it right. Detroit nailed it. You crushed it. Lions fans, you're happy. I'm happy for you. This was the perfect time. From the category of you can't make this stuff up. Coming off their first conference, their first conference championship game in 30 plus years. Their first home playoff win in forever, same thing, early 90s. It's a redux. There are a lot of Lions fans that weren't alive and don't even remember. And so to catch the draft in Detroit right after they have a 12-win season and win two playoff games is terrific. Way to go. Bravo, Commissioner Goodell. It's funny how these things happen for the NFL.
Somehow we knew.
Right? It's the Midas touch. No matter what the NFL does, it turns to gold. But Detroit deserves the credit. It was awesome. A record number of fans over the 3 days of the draft. and we're going to be hearing about it. Now, I hope it gets dwarfed by more playoff wins and more excitement. But yeah, to have 700 plus people attend the draft. Now, wonder what the ratings will look like on TV, too. But they were making noise the whole time. And while we're reintroducing those quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, he's already talking like he runs the place.
I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. You know, special teams, all the new roles, whatever. You know, we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen. And there's no reason to duck, you know, attack it, you know, head first and go get it.
He was so fired up about being drafted. The screech. I could tell you about the screech, but it's not as good as hearing the screech. We can't even believe that came out of Caleb Williams if we hadn't seen it, of course, and heard it. What about the pressure, though? He's been under it for quite a while now. He's been criticized and dissected and examined under a microscope, under a spotlight, every way you possibly can. And you know that it hardly ever results in positives. When you dissect a person and every little action over the course of a couple of years, you examine it to the hilt. Of course, there's going to be blowback and criticism. He does not care, which maybe makes him the perfect guy to serve as the next QB of the Bears.
Just do my job. Don't focus on all of that. I'm always going to have scrutiny. I do things like I paint my nails. I'm always going to have scrutiny over that.
Huh.
I wear funky clothes and things like that. So just do my job on the football field, win games. You know, I think you win a bunch of games here. You'll make a lot of people, a majority, happy.
You think he paints his own nails or he goes to get a mani?
I think he paints his own nails.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do. Can look pretty messy.
I think he's got practice.
Do you have any guy friends who paint their nails?
Zero. Absolutely not.
My husband would be mortified if when he was sleeping, I painted his nails and he woke up and he had color on his nails.
What color?
Oh, it would have to be a bright neon pink. Just because.
I think that's what Caleb paints his nails, actually.
Huh. I wonder why.
She likes it, I guess.
Yeah. All right. But you're sure he does it himself?
No, I'm not sure. Okay. I would think that he does. That's my guess.
I kind of feel like a guy who just became a millionaire, multimillionaire, might actually hire someone to do it. Only because it's really hard, depending on whether you're left or right-handed, it's pretty tough to do the other hand.
Well, you got to get those, like, things, right? The finger things.
The things?
I don't know what they're called. Like, you put your fingers in them. And
separators.
Like, is that really all they're called? Separators? Seems like they'd have some sort of better name than that.
Oh, okay. But it's not just that. It's not just about separating your fingers. It's about holding your hand steady and only painting the nail as opposed to the cuticles that are all around.
Well, you like can do that, right? You just like wipe it off, or you can't do that?
You can get messy.
It's messy, but you know, you just kind of slop it on there and then just clean it after.
Try that and let me know how it goes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So good for Caleb Williams. And he mentions Rome. That's Rome Odunze. That's too much like Doomsday. Rome Odunze, who was teammates with Michael Penix. So then Penix and Odunze get drafted back-to-back, 8 and 9. And it was kind of neat to hear his response on SiriusXM NFL about whether his QB expected to go that high.
Man, I don't think he did, honestly. I haven't talked to him, you know, in depth about all the things that were going to happen. You know, I know he was talking to several different teams, but, you know, I don't know if he talked to the Falcons to that extent. But so, you know, I'm super surprised. I'm super excited to get on the phone with him and get his reaction to, you know, it all going down. But, man, again, super happy for him. I know he's going to kill it. Yeah.
And then J.J. McCarthy, another one that people kind of question a little bit, eyebrow raising, only because of how high he went and the fact that the Vikings moved up a spot to get him. But I kind of think it's funny now that you've got a J.J. and a J.J. Two J.J.'s.
Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, you know, Aaron Jones.
No, no, just Justin
big
Jefferson.
Boys, Christian Darrisaw, Brian O'Neill, I just met him earlier, you know, Garrett Bradbury. All great pieces. You know, there's so many more that I could sit up here and just list all of them. But, you know, a lot of great pieces that make this organization what it is. And, you know, Justin is just a key part of that. And, you know, he already let me know I go by Jets, so we don't get any confusion there. it'll be great to get that connection going with all the guys, and he's definitely a key piece to that.
That's fantastic. He let the rookie quarterback know, I go by Jets.
So that's the answer. Who's JJ?
Which one's JJ? Well, it's not me, dude. I've outgrown JJ. That's a kid's nickname. That's all yours. You can address me as Jets.
Jets,
you can address
JJ.
Me as Mr. Jets. That's Mr. Jets Mr. to you. Jets. All right, talk to you tonight from Syracuse. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.